Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagen. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everyone. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden here on a Monday, giving you the truth straight up with the Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by
AmericasCitizenPress.com and Dr. Julie McCallan at Denver and Colorado Cenegenics. AmericasPress.com, a great conservative website, one I check every day.
And hey, Julie McCallan keeps me alive.
Yeah.
and so we had a very interesting Sunday, a tremendous speech by Trump, which will go on later in the program, and an equally horrendous Golden Globe Awards, which you torture yourself watching. So
I know, I kept telling Chuck, turn it off, turn it off. Can't we watch replays of golf? Even I was like, let's watch replays of golf.
I said I'd already seen the golf.
Hey, so we're happy to have on people who've listened to our show for a long time are familiar with him. He was a former El Paso County Sheriff's Investigator, Mark Poff, very active in bringing the truth straight up about the Tom Clements murder, about some of the corruption going on down there in El Paso County, under the former district attorney and the former sheriff, Bill Elder, and lawsuits filed there. That's a whole like four shows right there. But he's great on law enforcement topics. And I was reading the other day, Mark, and I did a little bit of research this morning. It was law enforcement officers baffled by skyrocketing increase in crime across the nation. I'm sure they're baffled, according to the liberal media organizations. But Mark is not baffled about it. So, Mark, first let me bring you up and say, hey, thank you for your time. Appreciate it today.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
So just a couple of statistics. Let me tell people around the country in general, I think they were saying at the beginning of the year, crime is up roughly, violent crime, 30%. In Denver, there was a 50% increase in the number of people murdered in 2020 over 2021, highest since 1981. And just the month of January alone, shootings tripled in Denver compared to the past few years. In South Florida, get this, shootings are 8 times higher in January of 21 than they were in January of 2020. Philadelphia, the number of shootings more than doubled. Portland tripled. And yet places like Illinois just passed their no cash bail system. To me, I'm not baffled at all, Mark. This is something that we've been reporting on for a long time here on the Chuck and Julie Show. And when I was a TV reporter, the problem is, I believe, almost entirely these progressive criminal justice reform policies that basically don't arrest anybody. And when they do, they don't keep them in jail in the first place. But let me just ask you this sort of the general open-ended question. What are your thoughts? Because I know you're not baffled.
Right. Well, when there's no repercussions for your actions, people tend to do things that they shouldn't be doing. And when you have a highly unmotivated law enforcement right now, because they don't feel like they have the support of their leadership, I don't see a lot of law enforcement officers. You know, the old joke used to be that the crook would be out of jail before the cop could be at the end of his shift. You know, that's just so true now, that cops are so demotivated, and the bad guys, if you want to call them bad guys, they know what's going on.
Right.
I mean, they're not, I hate to say they're not stupid, because some of them really are stupid, but they understand how the system works. And, you know, there's times that I've actually listened into jail calls. You know, I actually interviewed a guy, and then I let him go use the phone because I knew that phone was tapped. So I was like, yeah, go use that phone. Call whoever you want. and he calls someone and he says, hey, you got to get me out of here. They're going to get me on a federal gun charge. And I know that's 25 years. So get me out of jail. You know, so they know the system better than the cops do.
Right.
And so in these big cities and stuff, they know where to go, where they can get away with crime. In fact, it'd be interesting to see if there's any statistics of how criminals are actually moving into the cities where a lot of this is happening. I mean, to me, one of the biggest jokes, or the place we all need to be watching, there's always been Chicago. Right. They've been screwed up for years, and they'll probably be screwed up for many years going forward. Minneapolis, to me, is just really showing how to screw the system up. And they've made some horrifically bad decisions that's actually going to cost them more money in the long run.
Well, and that's kind of talk on these, and because you hit about 100 points there, all of which were very good. One of the biggest things I think is when you talk about bail reform, there is a certain amount of it I think that makes sense. I mean, if you have the money to post bail, you get out. If you don't have the money, you don't. So there is a certain unfairness there. But what I saw as a reporter, and I've seen getting worse and worse and worse with these progressive so-called reform policies, is that no bail. And I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I cover cases where a guy, we did this great story with this woman, her kid, she was carjacked and they put a gun to her like toddler's head as they carjacked her. Well, that guy was out on bond. He carjacks her, gets in a chase with the cops. They arrest him again and he gets out on bond again. He had like a million FTAs, they call them, failure to appears, never showed up for. I mean, so he knew, and each time the judges treated each case, and this was in Denver, like it was just this isolated case. And did you see that where you just had the same criminals committing the same crimes over and over and over again, the cops arrest them, and they literally are out by the time the cop ends his shift or her shift. And in the meantime, they know no one's going to come looking for them. And even if they do manage to screw up badly enough to get arrested again, they're still just going to get released anyway.
Right. You know, and it used to be in the old days that if you had a failure to appear on your record, you didn't get a bond, or it became an elevated bond. And one of the things you could ask for in law enforcement, because there's standardized bonds, which are agreed upon by the judges. They're the ones who set bonds, are the judges. But, you know, if you have an FTA or something, you could explain to the judge and ask for an elevated bond saying, look, the guy doesn't show, you know, so we need to hold him in jail to ensure he shows. Once you release that, and once you make it to a system where it's, you know, no bail warrants or no bail situations where they put no money up, what incentive is there to return?
Like, I mean, zero.
Well, you're not going to get Dog the Bounty Hunter coming after you because there's no bail to go get.
Right.
So, and I have actually in the past, I arrested somebody who was extremely rich. And I said, you know, he's a flight risk. And so I actually got $1 million bond, you know, based. So when they say that it's not fair, equitable, you know, rich people can get out, but that's not 100% true. You can get an elevated bond based on their, you know, how much resources they have.
But you know, what kills me is you'll look at places like in New York, which for a while did have the no bail policy pretty much. And then they had to go back to it because the crime was skyrocketing. But you're absolutely right. You know, one of the things I learned too in my years as a reporter is you may have, say, I've talked, used this example before, say 40 burglaries. That's not 40 individual burglars out there, each committing one burglary. What you have is a handful of burglars committing a bunch of them. And so when you take those people off the streets, it makes everything safer for everyone. But you look at situations where you'll see like, who's Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend / mistress, Ghislaine, whatever her name is.
Maxwell,
right. So she's being held on a really, really high bond. They won't let her out. And now granted, what she did is accused of is terrible. But I mean, in the meantime, they're letting burglars, drug dealers, carjackers. I mean, you're petty criminals who are actually affecting people all over the community. They get to go free.
Right. And they're just going to go do it again.
Right.
I mean, a lot of times when we were end up arresting people, we would find that they were out on bond. So even with bond,
right,
they're still committing crime. So if there's no bond, I mean, it's almost like, I mean, this is what I would do if I was a criminal right now. I'd go in for the volume discount, especially during COVID. I mean, I just, every time I could get out, I'd just be committing so much crime that I could, you know, try to rack up all this money or whatever. And then at the end, just say it was COVID and then try to negotiate, you know, a one deal for all my crimes for the last year. And see, okay, I'll spend a couple of years in jail, you know, when it's over. But there's absolutely no incentive. I mean, one of the biggest incentives is not being in jail. Because understand this, jail is worse than prison. Because prison, you can kind of get into this routine. You can work. You can do all kinds of stuff. It's almost like its own little city. Jails are very chaotic. You know, they constantly change because more people will come in. People tend to not want to go to jail, which is kind of good incentive.
Let me clarify for 1 second for folks who have never been arrested or don't follow the way we do. Prison is where you go once you've been convicted. Jail is where you go in the meantime. So explain that. Why is, you would think just the opposite, that jail would be friendlier, people would be on their best behavior, but no.
No, because when you just arrest someone, they may be high on drugs. They may have all kinds of stuff in their system. So jails are just very chaotic. And most prisoners that have come back to a jail environment, they hate it. And in fact, I know a guy who took a deal to go back to prison as soon as possible. He said, you can add a year to my sentence if I can just get out of jail right now and go back to prison. You know, he just wanted out of the whole jail environment. And that's really what the motivation is. People should not say, oh, jail's great. You get 3 squares, you know, things good. It should never be the incentive that you want to be there. So the number one goal of somebody who's in jail is to get out of jail.
Right.
And so that's the incentive. Well, if there's no penalty of, well, you're going to sit in jail for 6 months. Well, I'm just going to keep committing crimes. And like I said, at the end, I'm going to try to negotiate the best deal I can if it ever ends up there, because with a COVID backup, understand this fall or whenever we get out of this COVID nightmare we're in, the self-inflicted polis virus lockdown or whatever, that there's going to be all these backlogs. There's going to be tons of deals.
Oh, yeah.
Summer and fall.
They're going to
have tons of deals.
Every lawyer I talk to is like, their case is put off. Or then they try to do it and then something gets messed up. I mean, they're all, and you're right, they're going to have to do deals. Well, and in the
let me get a word in edgewise.
Chuck, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you.
Smart Alex.
This is where Julie and I disagree.
Chuck is wrong. No, I'm kidding.
I had problem again. I had problem with the bail system. I have problems with the arrogance of the police officers thinking they were immune from virtually everything, including killing people. I was highly objectionable to the power we gave to DAs who could absolutely rig the system. And I'm not fond of our judicial system. All of them, in my mind, needed reform. They'd gotten way over to one side. Now, instead of stopping in the middle, we've gone from a system that really is badly rigged on one side to now just a joke of a system all the way through. Right. I mean, only that would make me now feel incredibly sympathetic to the poor officers online who have no support from anybody.
Well, and actually, I agree with you. Yeah,
if I was to pick one thing in criminal justice reform right now to get rid of, it would be absolute immunity.
Right.
That's the first thing. Nobody has absolute immunity except for God. So when you have district attorneys, which I've experienced personally with cases that I've worked on, because they know they have absolute immunity, ruin lives and arrest people that they know are innocent because it all boils down to there's no repercussions.
Right. Well, and that's what I think the left wants, though, because I agree with both you and Chuck on that, too. It has
Julie always agrees with everybody.
No, it has gone from one. We're going to cut your mic off. It's gone from the one extreme to the other. But I think that what's more insidious here is I think you have people on the left who are more interested not in reforming criminal justice, but they're interested in destabilizing our entire culture. They're interested in making everybody a victim, especially the criminals. If you're an actual victim, like that couple that had to defend their home against the rioters, right? They wanted them prosecuted. If you're an actual victim, you don't get any help at all from the left. Well, but if you're a person who's been arrested, if you're a rioter, if you're a looter, if you're a carjacker, well, then none of it's your fault. I mean, I think that's their underlying goal. System.
Well, they're basically anarchists in some form or the other. They don't care about quote-unquote reform. They just want to get rid of the system and make it so awful that they can reimpose a far more draconian system on everyone.
On us.
Well, everyone.
And that's actually used a term that I really wanted to say today, which is destabilize law enforcement.
Yes.
And you're saying
destabilize society.
Well, but you guys are kind of taking it on a bigger scale. Is they want to destabilize everything. And they don't want people taking care of themselves. But no. God forbid you do that.
Right.
They want to take care. They want the nanny state where they're taking care of you.
Well, they don't want the nanny state. They want the
dictator, tyranny,
the granny from hell state.
And I think a lot of this actually, like they say, don't ever waste a good crisis. I actually think a lot of this started back with 9/11. And I hate to really go back that far.
No, I agree.
Yeah. But one of the things that really hit, that they're taking advantage of right now, why are they troopers or National Guardists sitting at the Capitol right now?
Right.
There's a whole, you know, Nancy Pelosi and all of them didn't want any of the National Guard when Trump brought it up. But now that they're in power, they're their friends.
Right.
You know, and so you have to really watch. And one of the things that I've noticed over the years, and I think people really need to get to watch this, is federal law enforcement is expanding and they're decentralizing. And I find, you know, because I'm still a consultant and I work on a whole bunch of cases, criminal cases still throughout the country, is I keep finding out these DHS agents coming out of nowhere. And it's like, who are these people? You know, wow. I got FBI, I got, you know, DEA, I understand ATF, and I know what their goals are. But all of a sudden now in small towns, they start referencing a DHS agent. And another thing that they implemented after 9/11 that I think is a real takeover of local control and local law enforcement are these task forces.
Yes.
They set up
yes.
all kinds of task forces. Right. And what happens is they're run by the FBI or DEA right. or ATF. Right. And then they incorporate local law enforcement who now work for them. And
right.
Get
right.
And here's an interesting point. We're talking about all these body cams and everything being recorded. You know, that's for transparency and everything to understand that. But the FBI still has a policy of not recording any interviews.
Gee, why would that be?
Why is that? Yeah. Why is that the FBI doesn't want to record?
Well, so James Comey can just reconstruct his notes.
I absolutely agree that 9/11 right. was a horrendous event for all the people in the Twin Towers, but it's also a horrendous event for the country because it gave us a Patriot Act, which was anything but patriotic. It was the anti-Patriot Act, where you really allowed the NSA and everybody else to spy anywhere and everywhere they wanted to with absolutely no control. And talking about the federalization of crimes, the FBI has decided that it is the anti-corruption police. So it goes into small towns, tries to entice a mayor to take a bribe, and then marches away with all great happiness. I mean, it's pathetic. It's pathetic that, you know, and I know a lot of police officers will not work with the FBI anymore. They used to consider the FBI their friends, their cohorts. Now they go, get out of our, you know, I'm not helping you at all. You do not instruct me to do anything and just go away. They've become an enemy not only of Trumpists and average persons, but also many police officers.
Well, I would tell you, as a retired police officer, I'm a little cynical when it comes to, and I have buddies of mine who used to be in the FBI and have retired, but that's old school FBI.
Right.
And again, when they come in right now, these task forces, you know, I wish we had more time to just really talk just specifically about these task forces. They sound great.
They're
a great reason, a great cause. But right. ultimately, you know, and it, I think it started from 9/11 because they're talking about agencies not talking to each other being an
right.
issue.
Right.
Well,
right.
you can communicate, but you shouldn't have local law enforcement answering to federal agents.
Right.
Yes.
That causes kind of a mix up.
Well, another thing I think they do, Mark, and we have a few minutes to talk about that because I think that's important what you're saying. So on the one hand, they want to defund local police, but they're centralizing, the feds are taking over. I think the other thing they do for local agencies is they entice them with grants, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you join the task force, you get all this money and equipment and stuff that goes along with it.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. It's like, you know, when they wanted all the states to only drive 55, what'd they do? You know, we're going to shut down your funding.
Yeah.
So now it's quite the opposite. Instead of shutting down funding to do what we want you to do, we're going to give you grants to do things our ways and to work with us and things like that. So, yeah, that's a great point.
And how far the corruption under Comey in the FBI seems to be, you know, I know Sean Hannity likes it, just 1% at the very top. But we're finding out it ain't 1% at the very top. Comey had kind of reformed, if you want to call it, the FBI, and they throughout the agency worked to undermine Trump, and today seek to attack the right. You know, they're afraid of.
Well, meanwhile, they're trying to get rid of guns too. Right, they're busy today getting rid of the Second Amendment.
I understand. You know, Everybody who has a gun wants nobody else to have a gun. That's just a, you know, the way of the world. If I'm the
and
only
I
one
do agree
gun,
with that. I,
yeah, yeah.
I wish I was the only person on the planet that had weapons.
But, yeah, yeah, me too. I mean,
but the whole philosophy, it's such a philosophy thing of, I want the government out of my way. I want to protect myself. Right, I want the ability, which is really what the Constitution was all about.
Yes.
It is being able to protect yourselves. And the government, or I don't want to say the government, the liberals, the Democrats, you know, they don't want you to protect themselves.
No,
and they they want all the guns taken away because they got security.
Yeah, they got they'll have all the guns. You don't worry about
they
it.
They don't. Yeah, I mean, so, and the stuff that's going on right now, and, you know, it's almost like the stock market. Whenever a Democrat gets ready to be elected, you need to go out and just buy as many guns as you can first and just stockpile them, because as soon as they're elected, the prices skyrocket, and then you sell them.
You know,
it's like silver.
Well, let me ask you about, let me ask a John St. Augustine case. Why don't you describe it just briefly and where it stands?
Well, again, this is why absolute immunity should be gone, you know, with district attorneys, because John St. Augustine was falsely accused for a kidnapping of a person that he never met, to keep it really simple. And I really don't know how you can kidnap someone that you never met. And they argued, the district attorney's office, a guy named Mark Hurlburt, who was a special DA working for Dan May, because Dan May recused himself, didn't say it right. And ultimately, they knew very quickly into the investigation that John St. Augustine had nothing to do with what was considered to be a false arrest, again, on an individual that he never met. They were explained all this information, all this evidence was provided to them, and they basically said, we'll let the jury decide. Well, we pretty much knew. I mean, John's a good friend of mine. We do a lot of business together. We knew there was no way this was ever going to go to trial. I mean, there's just no way, because all the evidence, they said that he was in a meeting and he had a key card access, you know, to get in and out of the sheriff's office building, showing that he had left the parking lot 30 minutes before this thing ever transpired. And Mark Hurlburt with the DA's office, who was since, my understanding, is fired because he couldn't even, you know, convict a former sheriff who didn't do any crime either. But so he sued, and he sued a whole list of people. And ultimately, because of immunity, ultimately, he's only suing now a CBI agent. So it's the state of Colorado right now is where it sits right now. They're taking depositions, but because of COVID, everything has come to a screeching halt. I can't wait until all this stuff goes public. And again, I don't think there'll be a trial. I think he will get a seven-figure settlement because they know what they did to him is wrong. There's other CBI agents, there's DAs, there's all kinds of people where there's evidence clearly showing a conspiracy to basically screw him over because he was willing to talk about the Tom Clements case, which we know for a fact, I worked on the case. The homicide happened about a mile and a half from my house. I was one of the detectives first on scene. We know there was four other people involved in the murder of Tom Clements. We know it. We know who these people are. They should have been brought to justice, but Dan May refused to do it. So that's, and then when John was willing to be outspoken about it, along with former Sheriff Terry Makita, they went after them. They targeted them with false charges, arrested them, and ruined their lives. Why? Because they have absolute immunity.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, I've talked to 18 judicial former DA.
George Brockler?
George Brockler. And he did indicate that Hurlburt's handling of that case caused him to be fired. But his main complaint was that Hurlburt didn't go to the weakest link in the chain and try to destroy that person first in order to work the way up the chain. And I didn't remember who the I don't know.
So much for justice.
I don't know who the woman was that he considered to be the weakest in the chain, but the refusal to
the undersheriff, Paula Presley, is that
I'm not sure.
Yes.
But I will tell you, I've read most of the I've seen some stuff. I have some information on that. I don't have any big issues with Brockler. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not sure he really knew the scam that Dan May and current sheriff Bill Elder were running. And there's some others involved. You know, I think his play was that he assigned Mark Hurlburt.
Right.
And I wish I could tell you some things, but when this all goes public at the end, it's just incredible.
Well,
it's incredible, the stuff.
Is that Herbert didn't squeeze her harder?
Well,
was a problem.
Well, I mean, that's their point of view of it. I would tell you is, you know, from their point of view, there was a crime committed. I would tell you as a seasoned detective, these guys handle a lot of cases. I actually work the, you know, as an investigator and a detective, there was no crime committed.
Right.
What was Peter Makita's crime exactly?
Well, they called it extortion because he was trying to hold someone to a contract.
So,
if I say to you, if you have a contract, I want to finish this. If we have a contract together that you're going to provide me medical services in my jail and you're not living up to my expectations, and I say, look, if you don't fire this person or you don't take care of this issue, I'm going to see about having that contract, you know, gotten rid of, and we'll take it back out to bid. That's not extortion. That's not even close to extortion. It's called, you know, if that's true, you'd have all these businessmen in jail. Right. If every time they said, you're not living up to the contract, I'm going to cancel it.
Whose contract was it?
It was for the medical support in the jail.
And who was behind the contract on the civilian?
You know, I can't remember the name of the company. In fact, I think they've since may even have gone out of business. I mean, so I'm not completely sure.
What did they do to annoy Stan Makita?
Terry Makita.
Well, my understanding was is that they had one or two individuals working for that company that were causing bad things in the jail. I mean, the sheriff's responsibility is to make sure that you have a safe and secure facility, the jail. If you allow someone to come in that's stirring things up and causing problems, is it not the sheriff's right to say, I don't want that person in my jail, whether they work for you as a subcontractor or not? It's your jail.
Right. Well, and Terry Makita had other issues too, but you're right. They just,
well, no.
The powers that be wanted to get rid of him the same way they wanted to get rid of John St. Augustine. They crooked up an investigation, dropped it at the last minute. The good news is, though, for folks who are listening, he's suing, and the depositions will become public at some point. And Mark, you always tease us. Every time Mark teases us, the answer, when he finally reveals it, it's like, whoa, even I didn't think that. So we got to let you go now.
I guarantee you won't believe some of the stuff that went on in this case.
All right. That's a teaser. Everybody stay tuned.
Have they taken the depositions by Zoom or any other?
They've started, but I don't know anything about that. You know, the depositions are private at this point, and I don't have any information. And I'm not sure, you know, it's all, I want it to be public. What I'm afraid of personally, you know, is I want John St. Augustine to get, you know, his seven-figure payout because they've ruined his life on something. Again, he had nothing to do with it. Because there was nothing happened for him to have nothing to do
with
it.
Here's the problem with that, and I agree. I hope St. Augustine gets his seven-figure settlement because he deserves it. But if that's just the result, they're just taking our money to hide their sins. Oh, here you go. Boom. Now that's okay.
And you're right. And here's the problem. They're going to – my forecast or prediction is they're going to want everybody to sign NDAs, non-disclosure agreements.
Right.
So they're going to take tax – here's the key. They're going to take taxpayer dollars.
Right.
They're going to pay off someone who obviously was abused by the system.
Right.
And it can't – and there's no transparency.
Right.
It should be illegal for any payout from taxpayer money to ever include an NDA.
And exactly. Then they'll both petition the judge to seal
everything so they'll never know.
The judge, who's just as much into the crock as everybody else, will agree, and we'll just have this same system.
And then I hope that maybe he can do like the Rocky Flats grand jurors did and release it anyway. I'm just throwing that out there.
I hope somebody does. Maybe somebody who's in on the inside but has nothing to do with this just leaks it all.
There you go.
I mean, it's unfortunate they call them leakers when they really –
Whistleblowers.
Right. It's just the opposite. They call whistleblowers who are really just felonious leakers against Trump. And then when they have real whistleblowers, they call them leakers. So,
hey, Mark, you're great as always.
You.
We will
Thank
be staying
you.
In touch. Thank you. Appreciate your take on things.
You bet.
All right, Mark.
You guys have a great day.
You too. From Sandra. Right. This is from Sandra here. Flipping corruption runs rampant in Colorado, flipping everywhere in every government agency. That is true, Sandra. If there's one thing we've learned over the Trump years,
I think most people consider it a nice state and clean and everything else, is far more corrupt than Chicago, far more corrupt than most any other place in the planet. And I think some people are starting to realize that, and the Democrats appreciate it because that's what they're their kind of el especial is.
That's right.
When Republicans finally realize that Colorado is not the gold standard, it's a fool's goal of electioneering, and we can't have people just go, oh, it's a goal. We can't have our chairman go, it's per-. I mean, how great a job do you have to do? You rig elections, and you have the other side saying they're perfect. I mean, are Colorado Republicans the dumbest people in America?
No, swamp.
No, they're dumb.
Well, let us, because that leads right into what we're going to talk about now. So we're going to open the phones up, and on Zoom if you want to comment too, but the phone number to call in is 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. You want to come in through Zoom, just go ahead and turn your camera on or unmute your microphone. Remember, just one at a time. But Trump's speech yesterday, this is interesting, and we'll kind of cover both of these. Golden Globes, which are like, I was telling Chuck, please turn on golf replays from 1991.
Julie has a poor memory. But last year's Golden Globes, Ricky Gervais, was the best award show in the history of America. It was hilarious as he just eviscerated one crummy Republican.
Right.
So I very much wanted to see, after they got Ricky Gervais, would they go back to their same insanity, the same blandness.
Instead, they just went boring. Well, here's what I was going to say, though. It was ratings were down like 60%, but...
And I was one of the part of the 40%.
But 31, and I think it was roughly like 5 million people, 31 million people watched Trump, apparently, on social media give his speech. So I want to talk about the speech, what he said, where we're going, if you watched it, what you thought, and if not, we've got a little bit of soundbite. So 888-627-6008. I'll go first, couple minor points, or do you want to go first?
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Number one, I liked his hair better. Okay.
Great.
Clearly, he's changed his hair. I think I liked it better.
I worked on it plenty of time. He's got a little extra time.
And in the meantime, the other main thing I thought is it seemed to me, my overall impression is Trump is having fun. There was not some bitter, angry.
It wasn't a Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Yeah. Wasn't a Hillary kind of moaning and bitching and complaining. He left out, you know, or didn't emphasize election integrity or the rigging till toward the end. An appropriate amount.
He was defiant, reasonable. And I think he made it clear. And so, you know, listen to other people and other radio stations are like, oh, you don't know, Trump is, he's just not going to make it. It's like, these people are on, well, they're not on drugs. What they are doing is they are trying to discourage us. They're trying to shut us up. They're joining the left when they're like, oh no, Trump is gone. He's not going to be around.
And if you want to watch a modern day rhino, just have him say, you know, I really agree with his policies, but his demeanor and his tweets
upsetting,
and I don't like his personality very much. So if we can just have Trump, well, not quite Trump, you know, if we can have, well, open borders.
If we could have maybe Mitt Romney.
Yeah, Mitt Romney.
Somebody like that.
Nikki Haley.
Oh,
what more could you want than
Nikki Haley? How to embarrass yourself. Poor Nikki Haley.
And who's the gold standard of Republican senators? Mitch McConnell. Yeah. When they say that to you, you can say, look, we're going to tie you up, put you in a boat, and we're going to send you right over to New York City.
And you go form your own party.
No. Join the Democrats, because they'll drown you.
Well,
they won't be that nice.
What about?
They want the Mitch McConnells.
Oh, that's true. They will.
They will lynch him.
Yeah. Well, and same Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
So she totally trashes Trump, says he shouldn't have be anywhere near the Republican Party anymore. Then the polls come out. Everyone hates her. They love Trump. So she asks Trump, hey, can I come talk to you? Can we make up? And he says no. And then she tweets yesterday, what a great speech. It's like Nikki Haley.
Just because he didn't include your name because you're not an elected officer. If you were, he would have thrown you in.
But I thought the speech was, that was just sort of the demeanory kind of stuff. But I thought the speech was great. I think it was long and it was Trump.
I wanted to hear him for a long time.
Well, and it's in a way, I think this banning him from social media has really worked to his benefit.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody wanted to hear what he had to say. I suspect we're going to continue hearing him because he went on Newsmax. He went on Fox again. So I think Trump is gearing up. He announced his new PAC. So I'm going to say that if you aren't giving your money to the Patrick Neville Association here in Take Back Colorado, I would go ahead and give it to DonaldJTrump.com. Is that what it was?
Right.
It's clear he's doing that. But I think one of the biggest
things. And one thing good about Trump, he'll make sure that the consultants don't suck every penny off of it.
He
ran his campaigns very lean. He realized that
he's a businessman.
Well, he realized that they were just robbing him poor.
Right, return on investment, yeah, right? Yeah. Return on investment.
They weren't going to wait till the election was over. They make it during the election.
And he wasn't scared. And I think that's a thing we need to be also, all of us, is, you know, I saw Newsmax or somebody, no, the Right Side Broadcasting, one of them, anyway, they're interviewing Mike Lindell.
Oh, that was
hilarious.
Started
going off on things. And they shut him off because they said, YouTube will deplatform us. Well, I think, you know what we got to say? Screw it.
Get the platform.
That's right. Get yourself on Rumble, right? Yeah. I mean, we're on all of it. We're on YouTube. We're on Rumble because you can't play. That's what they want
you
to do.
There should be a C in front of the Right Side Broadcasting. Cowardly Right
yeah,
Side.
Yeah. I mean, you can't shut up. I mean, you can agree with them. You could disagree, but they're absolutely right, though. YouTube will do that. But you got to stand up to YouTube. And that's what Trump did. He didn't back down an inch. He didn't say, I'm not going to talk about the election. What did he say that was great? Maybe I'll try to beat him a third time.
Yeah. That's great.
But I want to play one of the things he did, though, also.
Let's take a call first. Oh, okay. We got Charlene in from line two. Charlene, welcome.
Hi there. Well, I'm happy with Trump's speech and that he got across to America what he wanted to say. The one thing I'm concerned about is they saw how much they needed Trump to raise money, so they let him back in. If we hadn't, you know, protested so much, they would have said, looks like we don't need Trump after all. But, you know, I want to give Trump money. And Trump Jr. came out with a statement where he said, you can donate to Save America PAC at DonaldJTrump.com. And then he said, despite what anywhere else is not us, despite what they may tell you.
That's right.
And so I'm getting all these committee to defeat Joe and, you know, save the Senate, save the House, all these things. And they're PACs, and they're not even mentioning the Republican Party. Because they want us to donate to these PACs.
You wouldn't want to give to the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee run by Mitch McConnell
exactly.
And the Crooks.
Exactly. So, you know, let the Democrats finance the Rhinos campaigns. I mean,
they do it here in Colorado.
Exactly. Let them do it on a national level. And, you know, we can use the party structure. And if they need any money to, you know, do whatever they do to finance Rhinos, they can get it from the Democrats.
America.
Whereas we donate directly to good candidates like Jim Jordan, Devin Nunes, you know, all the good guys, Hosler, all the good guys, and don't give them dime to the Republican National Committee or anything that's posing.
Exactly. And Charlene, I think, you know, Trump is, I think, you know, Chuck and I have had debates before. Is he lucky? Is he good? Or is he smart? Or is he wily? I think it was brilliant on his part to form his own PAC, because you can say, just like people, I think, all over can be saying exactly what you said. You know, the RNC fundraises off of Trump, but then you never know whether they're going to actually back him or not. And Trump is like, just we're going to scooch around them, which is what the Democrats do with their democracy.
The problem is that Trump is a wily character, but he's not wily enough and hopefully he gets better at it. He wasn't wily enough to see how the steal would occur. He wasn't wily enough to make sure that if he hired his own private army
But you know what? I somehow think he was depending on Ronna McDaniel in the whole system to care enough to keep him in power, because then they would get what they wanted, you know, in for their states and their agenda. But I don't think they realized that they would give him up so easily, and they did. And now they realize they need the money from the Trump supporters. So, you know, like Nikki is kissing up to him. Nikki Haley is, you know, wanting to meet with him. And just
she's shameless. I'll give her credit for being shameless. I mean, as much as I dislike Liz Cheney,
she's standing her ground.
She's standing her ground and saying, "Shoot me," which we ought to do. But that's better than someone groveling on the ground, licking your feet, going, "Don't murder me, please."
Hey, Charlene,
she is shameless. What, Julie?
I was just going to say, I didn't know you had something else to say. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
I didn't. That was just do not donate to the RNC, Colorado GOP in any form. And I know a lot of diehard GOPers are going to say, well, we need some money to keep the party going. Well, Ken Buck's raising money. You know, he's bringing that home. Remember how he was going to bring all that home to Colorado?
Well, somebody Let has to figure,
it home,
please.
Fulfill his promise. I know he wants to deliver on that.
Well,
so
the Republican Party right now has a lot of money. It has a lot of money because the Trump campaign and the Cory Gardner campaign gave them money. So they're not their usual broke self. Not that they're
rolling
in dough. But
right,
you have to
right.
understand
but, I mean,
that the Republican Party
email.
The Republican Party is run to make consultants money. It's made to make
exactly.
Andy George, Clear Creek Strategy,
exactly.
Josh Penry.
Exactly.
That's the only purpose. The money never gets down to Adams County. We never get a penny.
Yeah,
so where does it all go?
Exactly.
It goes for the salaries of the in-staff and then the consultants who are in charge of the mailers and majority strategies. Very little of the money. How much money is run to do grassroots, real grassroots, not just calling on them? How much is done to ballot collecting? Zippo.
Yeah.
Zippo.
Exactly. And so, you know, they've still got the power of infrastructure. And the way to get to these people is through their pocketbooks, so do not give them a dime. And if you get emails that try to pass themselves off as Trump, like
right.
Robert, like his son said, despite what they say, this is the only one to donate to. So
well,
they're going to try
on
to
Wednesday's
pass
program, themselves. On Wednesday program at 3 o'clock, we're going to have Christy Burton Brown, and we're going to see if she can be the kind of person who'll make
it. Who's running for chairperson of the Colorado Republican Party.
She can be a
change. None of them but Casper Stockham are calling out the fraudulent elections in Colorado.
Yeah,
we'll ask her.
We'll find out. You know, call in. Stick it to her. You ask her the tough question.
We got a second win, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
All right, Charlene, hey, thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. This is from Mark saying, you can tell that Trump kicked butt. I'm saying butt, Mark. And name names because the lamestream media is not talking about his speech at all. I loved his how to fix election prescriptions. They were all great and would make a difference. Dick Wadhams, in case you're listening. And you know what, Mark? Great minds must think alike, because that was one of the sound bites I pulled where Trump was talking about some of the things we need to do with the election and how Republicans need to wake up. So, Mark, Thomas, if you could play the Trump soundbite number one.
Best, fair, and accurate. We need one election day, not 45, 30. One day, like it's been. And if Republicans don't get this and the other things I'm going to say, then you should, like the Supreme Court, be ashamed of yourselves. One day, and the only people that should be allowed to vote by mail are people that can be proven to be either very sick or out of the country or military where they can't do it. One day, they have millions and millions of ballots sitting around all over the place. For long periods of time, gee, I wonder what happens with those ballots. I wonder what happens. It's common sense. It's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. There should be a legitimate reason for someone to vote absentee. Has to have a reason. We should eliminate the insanity of mass and very corrupt mail-in voting.
You know, and that's before I was like, no.
You got to save that for Wednesday. That's
okay.
Great, that's well done.
It is. Well, it is. And here's the thing, because I used to think, oh, no, they never do that. But I think he's right. We have to fight for that, because if you just have one day voting, if you go back to that, you essentially eliminate all the other problems, right? You eliminate the ballot harvesting.
Yes.
You eliminate the millions of pre-printed ballots
right,
and nobody knows
right.
where they go.
Well, they could still do that.
I mean, you know, the Democrats are still organized. I mean, it's not that, you know, it's a gimme, but that sort of solves a lot of the basic problems. It solves all kinds of them. The other thing that Trump said that is absolutely certain that we need to do too is he said we need to have signature verification. It's ridiculous that the House HR1 that they're talking about in Congress wants to get rid of any and all signature verification. Why would they want to do that? There's only one reason they would want to.
Because they're crooked and they're grafters.
It's no imposition. There's no voter suppression to say.
Well, voter suppression is not allowing the dead to vote. And that's not fair to the dead.
No, so Trump hit it right on the head there. The other thing he did that was great, that was defiant, is he named names, right? Like Mark said, he named names. Thomas, if we could play the Trump soundbite number two, please.
Have grandstanders like Mitt Romney, Little Ben Sasse, Richard Burr, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Pat Toomey. And in the House, Tom Rice, South Carolina, Adam Kinzinger, Dan Newhouse, Anthony Gonzalez, that's another beauty, Fred Upton, Jamie Herrera Butler, Peter Meyer, John Katko, David Valadao, and of course the warmonger, a person that loves seeing our troops fighting, Liz Cheney. How about that?
You just kind of get the impression that Trump has like this big poster in his office with all of their
pictures
their pictures, and he throws darts at him and he picks up people.
Well, you know, I was listening to George Brockler today.
It's 710 KNUS.
710 KNUS. Which is coming 710 Rhino, but with exceptions, with important exceptions.
Yeah, like Randy.
Like Randy and Matt and some of the others. But he was saying this is not a good use of our time or our money trying to defeat Republicans that are things we should just try to unite. Well, this is why that is wrong. Here's how it's traditionally gone. You get the rhinos who come out, all to the adulation of the Democratic Party. You know, oh, you're great, you're wonderful. Every piece of media is wonderful. No criticism by the right that they're selling the party out. And so you just get more and more and more rhinos because you never push back.
Well,
George doesn't want us to push back. And so the rhinos will grow when you have nothing to lose. You just kind of, I'll attack Trump, and then that'll get me, I get on MSNBC like Cassidy did, and then the Republicans won't criticize me. So what's there to lose?
Well, here's the thing, that it only goes one way, if you notice in Colorado, right? It's like we're all supposed to unify, and at least electing a Republican is better than electing a Democrat. Well, that never works when it's from the rhinos' point of view, right? When we say, hey, we want Tom Tancredo to be our gubernatorial candidate, they kill him, they backstab him, they take away his money, they raise money to fight against him, and they eliminate our choices. When we say we like Patrick Neville, when we say we like Dave Williams, when we say we like, you know, go down to Owen Hill, I mean, all of these people, they don't say, well, okay, they're not really our cup of tea, but we're going to unite behind you now because it's better than a Democrat. No, well, they try to slaughter us. So
our friend Dick Wadhams said, you know, 85% of the people the Republican Party support Trump, more or less. Maybe you can a little less, a little more. But he says, do those people want us 15%, you know, still in the party? And the answer to that is, unfortunately, no, we don't want to put you part of the party because you 15% occupy every position of power. Every Republican chairman since 2007
in Colorado,
it's been an establishment. Almost every person who ran for public office under the Republican Party has been a rhino. I guess I don't know what you consider Millis. You know, when Tom ran as a constitutional party, he was you're just kind of wacky. But you know, you always get the same rhinos for everything. Rhino galore. So 15%. They control everything. Why do they control everything? Because if one of the 85% gets elected, they cut off all support. They may not have the voting power, but they have the money.
Right.
And when they have the money, they can grind any Republican that's actually a decent, honorable grassroots person.
And Sandra is saying, I agree, Chuck, dump the rhinos. We want everybody out. And Ben is saying, not now, we have Chuck. That's right. Well, here's the good news. Again, people like Chuck, people like Ben, there are people, you know, all over Colorado, and Randy, even more so, and Randy, all those who are being elected into positions where they can start to have some influence, and hopefully they can. But before, I wanted to, one other thing too, I want to talk about the Golden Globes. Here's another reason to have hope. I mean, it was awful, and no one watched it. All they did is, yes, the hosts were incredibly boring, but the actors and actresses, Jane Fonda, I mean, actually, I had her little workout tape 100 years ago, But, you know, I, first of all, why do they get to give speeches? They should not let them even give speeches.
Well, and they also had, you know, their famous Norman Lear. We love him. Okay, 98, no problem. Let's bring him out. And he can trash because he's so progressive. And so can Jane Fonda, and Mark Ruffalo and all the other Goombas.
Tell us, and they said, oh, Mark Ruffalo, adorable with his children and stuff. And we have, this is part of his lame speech. If you didn't hear it, we have to subject you to this.
Well, we have to remember, everybody loves Mark Ruffalo.
Well, he was,
everybody.
He was the Hulk.
Well, because he was so many other things. He's just, everybody loves, because he's so caring, and he really does care about
it.
His brother committed suicide or murdered, and his whole life has been tragic. And so whatever he said is the gold standard, too.
So let's play this from the Ruffalo speech, Thomas, if we can.
The more we include each other and see each other and hear each other, the faster we will heal our broken hearts and minds. We have a dying mother, just like the mother in our story. She's Mother Earth. And we must come to balance with her and honor her, and she'll heal too. So let's be courageous together, guys. And let's turn the page on the cruel past of this nation. The good news is inclusion and justice and care for Mother Earth is breaking out everywhere. The godly light of decency is breaking through the hideous dark storm we've been living through. We are all in this together. We are the ones we've been waiting for. So let's do this now. I love you.
Yeah, I love you. Yeah, okay.
That last statement was from Barack Obama. We are the ones you've been waiting for. So in that speech, beautifulness has been breaking out in places like Portland and Seattle and many other places, Washington, D.C., and in the streets of Denver. Just the beauty.
The beauty.
It's the summer of love.
You can't even miss it.
Yeah,
well, you too.
And we love the inclusion by excluding any thought that contradicts us like a big tech. So we're all in it together as long as you will all heal. Just heal.
Well, or kneel, right? It's like they said in that Avenger movie, I do not kneel to men like you, and then there will always be men
But they're always so good. But, you know, there's a tear-dropping moment, and he's just a hideous Nazi.
Well, and here's the thing.
He's a disgusting authoritarian.
Oh, you said Nazi. Now we're going to be banned again.
Oh, no, we're going to be banned again. No, it's only in the title, Julie. We'll put Trump in the title.
That's right. Well, here's the thing. They talk about the inclusion, and you notice this is from the organization. This is from the party. This is from the progressive left, that there is no inclusion. They want to declare conservative thought national terrorism, right? Mm-hmm. They are trying to push cable companies, and they've already got the big tech people in their pocket, or vice versa, I guess, or equally, I guess. Yeah. So now they don't want them to carry place news organizations like Fox or Newsmax. So
It's breaking out the spring. It's breaking out.
The spring is Arab spring.
You know, that's what Mao did. Let 1,000 flowers bloom, and then he butchered all 1,000 flowers.
Yeah, so don't buy it. And the fact that they can even say it
is disgusting.
It's sometimes, but here's the thing. Again, the positive is it's kind of like the establishment Republicans. It's like, it's better to elect a Republican that you don't particularly like than a Democrat, unless it's a Republican we don't like.
Then
we're going to crush you.
And then
the Democrats are like, we're inclusive. The beauty is breaking out all over. Unless, of course, you're saying something that we don't like or we don't disagree with.
Coming out of the dark ages of
had the audacity.
Under Trump, after restoring our borders, getting our troops out overseas. Those dark ages. Thank God we're coming out of those.
Thank God we're bombing Syria.
Yeah, and we're bombing Syria. There's no greater act of love than a nice bombing.
And we're eliminating women's sports and destroying that.
Well,
that's an act of love. That's beauty. That's inclusive.
That's inclusive.
It's only inclusive. And then on this other thing, we're running out of time, but we'll talk about this too. You'll be glad to know that John Brennan, former CIA director, is ashamed of his male. He's embarrassed to be a white male these days. And now I'm not sure if that's because of Cuomo.
Weinstein.
I mean, I'm not sure what happened. Maybe it's Comey. I don't know.
Maybe Comey did it to him.
I don't know.
But I have to say, on behalf of all white males, you know, we don't want you.
Yes.
Please go away. Get some kind of tanning deal and be one of those transracial guys. You know, you can be like, pretend you're black.
Yeah.
If it'll make you feel better. I mean, you know,
self-identify.
Nothing wrong with that, but Go do it.
Yeah, no, John Brennan, it's ridiculous. But don't worry, we are all here. Guys are here. Donald Trump is back. He made it clear he is not going anywhere. So I think there is plenty of reason. And I mean, our eyes are open now. You know, we've taken the red pill. We've seen the Matrix. We're not going back. That's going to wrap it up for us today.
Wednesday, 3 o'clock, we'll have Chrissy Burton Brown, who I hope just knocks the ball out of the park.
That's right.
But you never know.
That's right. So get your phones ready or your Zoom ready, because I'm sure I like Chrissy. I'm sure she'll take phone calls or questions. Want to remind you, check us out at chuckandjulie.com. Would love to have you go to our YouTube channel or Podbean and like us and subscribe. That is really helpful. And it impresses our son, Rav, when he sees if we have subscribers. And you can always
catch. Nothing more important than that. His birthday is coming up. For his birthday, could you do it, please? For his birthday, his 10th birthday.
Chuckandjulie.com. Or Chuck and Julie on YouTube. Chuck and Julie everywhere. Would love to have you follow us. Not so much on Twitter anymore, but on Parler. And that's just at Chuck and Julie. Thank you to Thomas. Thank you to Mark Poff. Thank you to everybody who called in and made the comments there. We will see you Wednesday.
Take care.